blackness. Everybody wants to attack my blackness. Everybody wants to subtract my blackness. Everybody wants to attack my blackness. Blackness, 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 blackness. Everybody wants to attack my blackness. Everybody wants to subtract my blackness. Everybody wants to attack my blackness. Blackness, blackness, blackness.
Welcome, everybody, to the latest episode of The Other Experience. In the first episode, I explained the purpose behind this show, behind this podcast. To those, once again, who do not know who I am just JB. And, you know, very excited for this episode. The guest right before us, we've been friends for a long time. We have... Yep, we've talked about this for years, and my friend Andrew, this is a long time coming, dude, and I know you are gung-ho to talk about some of the things that we have talked about before on this platform, so
thanks for having me.
Of course, man. So before we get started, how you doing? How you feeling?
Doing okay. Just ready for this podcast. It's the first one, so I'm excited to get it all out and hopefully open up some doors, some ideas, to people that maybe don't know the other side, the other experience.
Yeah, man. So let's get straight to it. Andrew, where are you from?
I am from Delaware County, Pennsylvania, but I grew up in a town called Lansdowne, Pennsylvania. It's a small town. But people know of Delaware County. It's right outside of Philly. I grew up in Upper Darby and Lansdowne because, like, they're both right next to each other. Like, an elementary school was more of Lansdowne, but middle school, high school was Upper Darby. So I just really moved one town over, but it was still the burbs, still the same county. But yeah, that's where I'm from.
Nice, man. And to those who, I guess, to those who don't know much about, like, Delaware County in Delco. This region is Delco. Yeah. I know my wife and I just rewatched Mayor of Easttown, and I know, like, that was a big, like, oh man, like, Delco.
It's a very blue collar. It's a blue collar county. So I mean, it's really a mix, but depending on where you're from, like, a lot of it from, like, my towns are a lot of blue collar people, especially early on in the, and, you know, between, like, the 1900s all the way up into the early 2000s. But I mean, like, there were factories and stuff. So, but yeah, a lot of working class people in there.
Awesome. So just like a working class community, people doing 9 to 5 every day, daily life, people living and just, you know, doing the damn thing.
That's right.
Awesome, man. So, you know, with that said, with you being from the burbs of Philadelphia, how would you describe your experience kind of like growing up black in the suburbs, specifically Delco?
Well, the interesting thing about Delco,
good and the bad.
I'm gonna start with the good. So there are other black people. So it's not like you felt like you were the only black person. Mm-hmm. There's a mix of people. I mean, if you want Asian, there's Asian. You want Indian, it's dots, not feathers. lots of them. Lots of everyone. So you pretty much got a mix of everybody. Not so much Lansdowne. Lansdowne was more white and black, but it was a mix. But when you would go to, let's say, like, when I moved and I went to Upper Darby, I was one of two or three black kids in my grade, which was a huge jump. So I went from, like, maybe like being 40% black and the rest white and kind of, you know, the less and the other ones are sprinkled in between to the, like, you're literally just like 1%.
Wow.
So it was a big shift. And like, you know about all the little, like the good, like that's the good part. It's just you're not, like, you're actually used to seeing other people. That's the good part. The bad part is that when you go to certain, we'll say certain districts, you're one of very few. And this is back in a time where you know, people would segregate themselves, and it is, mm-hmm. and it is what it is. And you know that when you're living mm-hmm. in the suburbs, you know, hey, I shouldn't go here, or right. I shouldn't be here past a certain time because I'm asking, you know, people are going to mess with you. People are going to say things, stuff like that. So, you know, like that was in the 90s and in the early 2000s. So, but like that was the bad part about it, I would say.
Okay. Okay. So with that said, you just talked about the good part of it, you know, being around different people and then seeing that working class environment, and all of a sudden it's that shift and you realize you're one of only a couple other people, black people in your grade and whatnot. So did anything happen to you racially or anything like that? And when it did, how did you feel? And, you know, how'd you carry that with you in that moment when that was happening?
So I will definitely say, like, when I went to Upper Darby, I went there when I was in the fourth grade. So it was like my mom moved us at some weird time, like in April. It was at the very end of the school year. And when you go to being from, you know, having a large, you know, you have a large amount of people that look like you and you can mm-hmm. associate with whatever, then you go there. You quickly find out that, like, yeah, like you're used to being around white people, you're used to being around other people, but like you have to really fit in. And it's really hard to explain that to people. It's like, best way to explain it. So they know you're black, you know that they're white, but like they don't dislike you, but you have to like really prove yourself to them to make sure that like you're the ones that they don't like. That's the mm-hmm. I think that's the best way to put it. Like, oh, are you one of the good ones or one of the bad ones? And it's like, oh, well, I'm just a, you know, at that time, I'm just a kid. I like everyone. But it's like, oh, well, they like this. And am I part of this? And like you find yourself trying to fit into something and it just felt awkward.
And going back to that time in your life, even as young as fourth grade, did you talked about feeling that you had to prove yourself. Were there times or moments where you felt you were kind of judged, or rather you had to adhere to what other people thought you should be in regards to being a black man or black person, you know, in that environment? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Well, the good thing is that I was actually really athletic, and you know, when you're black and you're athletic, you automatically fit in somewhere. They know where, like, oh, you're someone that I recognize. You're black and you're athletic. Oh, wow. So I was always like really good at like, let's say I was really fast. So like, I was like a really good runner.
You did track?
Like really fast. So here's like an example. So like it was like my fifth day there. And like, they had this thing, it was kind of like a field day and no one's really talking to me. No one's really saying anything. And I'm like, all right, well, looks like I'm about to beat somebody's ass. They just don't know, you know what I mean? And then right. I just like, we had this event. It was like, you have to like run back and forth between the cones, between the playground. And of course, and like I beat everybody. And then everyone's like, whoa, who's that kid? Who's this and that? And then immediately that's when you start getting all of the, oh, well, hey, how you doing? This and that. I mean, I don't think that's really like more so like a racial thing, but mm-hmm. they definitely weren't talking. It's like, not just because you weren't the new kid, but they just didn't know what you were about or anything. So I had to make sure that like I had to show my athleticism so it's something that they can recognize.
Right.
So I'm approachable, you know?
Right.
So I hope that makes some type of sense.
No, it makes sense. So yeah. When you were doing that, you know, you weren't thinking about anything. You're just like, I'm just a new kid at the school. I'm just going to try to assert myself and make my space in this space, if that makes any sense. You, and correct me if I'm wrong, Andrew, earlier on you said that you didn't, you know, you're just like, I'm just me. I'm just at this school. Yeah, I'm one of the few black people, but like, I'm just trying to do my thing.
And this is something that some people really don't understand. one of the things I knew about going to an all-white school, remember I was saying to my mom, I got really upset. I was like, oh, these boys aren't going to like me, this and that. Even though I already had white friends, but I knew it was going to be different. And how did I know that? I just knew because of my experiences, even at that young age. And it's kind of hard. It's hard to explain that to people. It's like, well, how did you know? I'm like, you just know because, you know, if you're around, you know, both white and black and everybody else, and there's a mixture of you, it's fine. But when you're like one of two,
it's different.
You gotta approach things different. Like you can't be overly emotional. You can't be loud. You can't be like, you have to like, kind of like, well, you gotta be on their program or else you're going to be by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's pretty much anybody, but like it was, but I already knew that going in.
Okay. When that was going on, did you face any like questions? We talked about this before. Like there have been times like in my past, and I know that you know this has happened, where you just get asked rather interesting questions, ridiculous questions, and depending on how old or young you are, in this case pretty young, did you get asked anything about or heard any curious questions by a white person who thought they weren't being insulting, but they were in essence kind of being insulting or anything like that? Or just rather innocent questions about, I haven't been around another black person before, so I'm going to ask this. And when those types of things were and questions were happening, did you have varying emotions? Were you just like, oh, I'm going to have to educate this person? Describe a little bit of that.
Yeah, like I'm not going to focus too much on like just what elementary school was because it's different. Like you know, like your kids, you already kind of know certain things. They're not going to really ask you certain questions. Like they just won't talk to you at all. Or like you're playing on the playground, and that's kind of like where things end right there. But I do remember. Here's one thing. So I remember there was a. It was me, and it kind of reminds me of an episode of South Park. It was me, and there's this other girl, had the same last name as me, and people immediately were like, oh, well, do you like her? She's black, you're black, you have the same name. They thought that we were related, and which, I mean, you know, why not? We both had the same name around, you know, could be your cousin or something like that, and I'm like, no, but then it immediately goes to, like, oh, well, you should, oh, like, do you like her? And then I was like, why do I have to like her just because she's black? Like, you know what I mean? Like, and like that, like that was like one of the first real things I had to like deal with when it came to like that in school. And I'm like, do I like her? I try to like make myself maybe like someone that I really wasn't interested in because, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Interesting. So in that particular moment in time, you weren't even thinking of things like that. But everybody else was inadvertently or inadvertently, however you say that, making you feel like that. And you're just like, all right, like, I'm just a kid. Like, in this.
Like you should like her. Oh, yeah. And I'm like, I'm not even thinking about it. Like, I'm not even into her like that. Well, you know, like, but the idea of people making you think that way, like, oh, maybe I do. And I'm like, you know, maybe I'll try to talk to her or something like that. But it was just a really weird time. But at that particular point, I mean, I'm sure that there's more stuff as we go along that's going to definitely pop up.
So I'm sure.
Kind of like, I'm thinking about it in like per grade, but I just realized that, you know, that there's a whole broad spectrum that, like,
oh man,
you know, well,
yeah,
I ask those these questions, like, and I know, like, so I had to kind of remove myself from the elementary school mindset, because definitely when I got, you know, in middle school and you hang out, and no, because you know middle school kids are mean. We're all mean. We're all, you know, we're all dicks. Like
all assholes.
All of us. So, but go ahead.
So, you know, when you were talking about what your experience in regards to that. It just made me think of some things that I heard. One time someone in, I think it was in middle school, they thought they were being funny, but like, nah, like it wasn't. And if I was maybe like seven, I thought it would have been maybe funny. I don't know. Like, but I was like 13 and I thought it was stupid. Someone was like, hey, JB, look. And it was like the country of Nigeria, right? But.
Oh, Nigeria.
Thank you. Yeah. Nigeria. And I'm like, okay, shut up. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know why you said, hey, look, Niger, but like you really meant the N word. Like it was supposed to be really, you know, you thought you were being cute with it, but I was like, nah. It's just stuff like that. You just think about things that happen like that in, you know, in school or in youth and everything like that. And when you were talking, I just got like a flashback of that, because being black in a white space in those like school settings, unfortunately, like that can happen. With that said, as you move on to middle school, high school, whatever, it doesn't have to be grade by grade, but did you get asked, hey, Andrew, why can't I say the N-word? Or like, hey, Andrew, rock is better than rap. Like stuff that you're like, you don't even think about. Like any just, you know, you're just being a kid in school learning, but like these questions and these assumptions and all this stuff springs up.
I'll have an example. So I had a friend, I'm not going to say his name, but I had a friend, and him and his brother, he had like a half brother who was half Filipino, whatever like that. And his brother's friend was Jamaican or whatever. So, you know, we always listen to all types of music or whatever, but I remember specifically he would listen to No Limit, specifically like Mystical Fiend, this and that, you know, and whatever they say, nigga, this and that, like he would say. Mm-hmm. And it would always make me feel, I'm like, rah, nah, like don't say, like, well, why can't I say it? It's in the song. And I was like, yeah, but like, you know that you wouldn't go out and just say that. You're saying right. Because I'm here.
Right. Right.
And I think it was just more so like, it just made me uncomfortable. It's like, nah, like don't say it, because you're not going to say it in front of everybody else.
Right. Exactly. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah. Did that happen? Did that happen a lot to you in your, you know, back in high school or middle school or anything like that?
Well, I think the things that people would do too is like, oh, because the way that you would talk or whatever, like the type of friends that you hang out with. Cause I had Asian friends. Mm-hmm. I had, you know, what's funny, like growing up, I had like a good amount of black friends, but the older I got, like middle school, high school, I lost a lot of my black. It just became less. I still had some black friends, but I had more white friends than black friends, or had Asian friends or whatever it is. And at a certain point, you have to just let people know. You have to let people know that certain things aren't okay. Like, oh yeah, I'm more black than you because I know this rap lyric. And I'm like, what? Like, what? And they just didn't understand that being black was more of, it's like your experiences and stuff. It's like, look, there's stuff that I know to look out for that you would never have to look out for.
Right.
And not even to jump the gun, I'm just going to come out. So I remember this one time it was me and my Asian friend, right? Mm-hmm. Even, mm-hmm. Because after a certain point, we were Chris Tucker, Jackie Chan. We were Rush Hour boys, you know what I mean? So I stay at his house, she stay at my house, like we were family or whatever. So I remember specifically, like we were in high school, and at this point he understood certain racial aspects, but
right.
Remember, we were walking down the street and we were in Drexel Hill, and it was like, I don't know, it was like 10 o'clock, and we were just walking back, and there was two pickup trucks rode by and screamed nigger at us both. And we were just like, fuck you. We just looked at each other and started laughing. But it was kind of like, he's like, what the hell? Like, because he's like, that's never happened. But we both laughed about it. But it was still like, he's like, what if people just riding around and just, he's like, people just do this to you? People just ride around and scream? I'm like, not necessarily, but it can happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I told him, I was like, but I do know one thing, though. We do need to, like, book the fuck out of here. Because mm-hmm. they might circle around and try to start some shit because they know. And I had to explain it to them. I was like, because they know that if they start shit with us, that we're the ones that are going to get in trouble, not them.
Right. Exactly.
And they know that. And I was like, they know that. He's just like, he's like, I trust him. I'm like, all right, yeah, like, really, like, let's get out of here.
Yeah. Crazy. That sounds like a pretty, you know, funny, not funny, but like a tense, anxious kind of funny moment.
But you know what? You know why? It was funny because at that point, I knew how to handle people like that. And, and talking to him about my experiences and then he kind of sees it. It's just like, you kind of laugh it off. It's just like, that's just a bunch of trash, whatever.
Right,
but,
right.
You know, a bunch of ignorant trash. All right. So, but it's like, yeah, but you still need to get up out of here because, as I said, if the cops come back, and at that time, the cops were in Upper Darby were like overwhelming force. There were no black cops. Well, there actually was one black cop, and he actually ended up getting fired. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, surprise, surprise.
And so you knew that, there was a certain mindset with the police even back then. And you just knew you had to book it up out of there. Like, all right, let me get up out of here because they're just going to, we'll get into a fight. And then next thing you know, they're like, well, what are you doing over here? You know? Even though we're just minding our own business, coming back from somewhere.
Yeah. So between you and your friend who was Asian, when that moment happened, it's crazy when you were explaining that, because here's this person talking about, you know, making a joke. And sure, to him, it's in his head, it's probably a joke. But like, you know, he'll say something like, I'm blacker than you because I know this. And like that very superficial kind of plane of just, you know, stereotyping and, oh, I know this thing from your culture and I'm therefore I am over, like, whatever that is. Right. But then something real actually happens because of you being black. And they're like, oh, my God, what just happened? I can't. But it's just interesting. Right. You know. What are your thoughts on that, you know, just like knowing that took place, but then when shit actually happens and it gets real, it's like you, Andrew, are kind of, did you feel like you were in a spot like, well, you know, I'm great friends with this person. They've said some things, but, you know, did you feel like you had to like, it's going to sound crazy, but like protect, like kind of.
Like protect him?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, what was it? It's complex, right?
Yeah, I felt relieved that I actually felt like a sense of relief that he actually got to see it. Like, right. It's not like, you know, he's a, you know, dope and don't know what, you know, don't know what racism is, because, you know, like, little side, it's not a side story, but I found out, like, that there's racism and prejudice amongst Asians and that certain people don't like certain people. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Like, I learned that, like, a lot of Vietnamese don't like Koreans. And I'm like, or you know, like, okay. Like,
it's like, what?
Yeah. And like, because, you know, certain people look down on them or whatever it is, you know. So, but I felt like, it's kind of like, not like a badge of honor, but it's like, okay, this thing happened. Now you see what I'm talking about. Okay, cool. Now let me protect you and get you up out of here, because I know what's going to come next. It's not like you don't really know, but you don't understand how far this could go. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
definitely. Don't look at you and say you're Asian and be like, ah, okay, whatever it is. But like, look at me and see I'm black and be like, yeah, lock him up. Get him out of here. He ain't supposed to be here anyway. Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, that's how I felt like when that situation happened.
So as you grew up, and give like a high level example of this, because like we can go like real, real deep. We'll have other opportunities to do that, my friend, for sure.
Yeah, I have more explanations about that too.
So you go through middle school, high school, everything like that. Did as you went through the schooling system and everything, and as you got older, more experiences took place in life. Were there any moments where you felt like you had to defend your blackness, or was or like be judged? Were there moments where not only you felt judged, but also you had to defend your blackness or anything like that? Does that make sense?
Yeah. So like now we're talking about high school now. So there was I had to ride the bus. I went to Votech or whatever it is. Like when I went to high school, the black side and the white side came together. And anyone that's been to Upper Darby knows that there's over 3,000 students in that school, like legit. Like the freshman class, I mean, the freshmen coming in are like 1,200. I think my graduate class was like 550 or 600. Like it's different. There's a lot of different people. So like when you, I came from the side where like, it's like, I was one of few, and then more and more and more came in. Went to middle school, more came in. This and that, more came in. So then when you finally get to high school, now you have your black kids, your ton of Asian kids, like the Indian, like all of us that that really used to rock together, do the whole United Nations shit. You know what I mean? Like you go to high school and it was just all white coming from the other side. So it's like your upper class white, your poor whites, a lot of you, like your skinheads and all them people will come in. Mm-hmm. And there was always conflict, you know, like the other kids would be calling the white kids wiggers or this and that. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden you just see like this normal looking white dude. And then you see him just talking to the black girls, talking to the black dudes and this and that. And they're looking at us like, we're all insane. Like, how the hell, you guys actually talk to each other? You guys actually, it's like, yeah, we do, because we grew up together.
Right.
Like, we all see each other and this and that. But, like, there's things in high school, like, for example, like, I'd be riding the bus to Votech. And I remember I was on the bus, and I'm in 10th grade, right? And there's your seniors from, at that time where I was, like, Clifton Heights. Clifton Heights was, it was not good being black in Clifton Heights. And, like,
I've heard that, It
really wasn't. A lot of your skinhead kids and all that came from that side of town. Mm-hmm. So I remember I was on the bus and there was this guy who was in class. This real big stocky guy comes on the bus and he was referring to another guy. And the guy's name was Dan. He was like, "Yeah, man, I'm getting tired of that nigger Dan." Everyone stops and looks at me, and I'm just like, he's like, yeah, that nigger Dan, da, 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 da. And he goes, "Well, I'm from the South, so we refer to people." Da, da. And I just remember I put my ear for, they looked at me, and I'm just like, put my headphones on, and just was like, it had to drown it out because I'm the only black kid. I'm not doing this,
bro.
I'm not defending this. I'm not going to do this. Not going to do this. And I remember that because he was in my class and we never had a problem or anything. And he came up to me one day. He was like, "Oh, yeah. Yeah, man. I just wanted to let you know, man. I'm sorry if you felt like I wasn't trying to disrespect you or nothing, make you feel uncomfortable. But, you know, I'm from the South and this is the terminology that we use and this and that." And I just looked at him. I said, "Listen, I have no problem with you, man. But, like, you kind of put me on the spot and it made me look. It made me feel uncomfortable and looks ridiculous. I was like, whether you attempted to do or not, I have no problem with you. I appreciate that you came up to me." And I had to pretty much let it go. Did I like to do, like, were we buddies after that? Hell no. Because it was like, it's like, bro, you're ignorant enough to say that shit around me, knowing that you're going to get a rise out of all your white counterparts on that bus. Nah, fuck that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you weren't friends, you weren't this and that. But I had to, but you know, when you're black and you're verbs, you always got to be the bigger man. You always got to do that. And at the times, like, that really gets, it gets tiring.
It gets tiring, man. Taxing.
It fucking gets so tiring. And it's like, you know, oh, well, you know, he said that. Well, you going to say something to him? Like, why? For what? Well, so then what? I'm going to show him that word gets under my skin. So then you know how like teenage boys are now. Mm-hmm. They're gonna start saying shit and they might try to start bullying me on the bus or something. You know what I mean? Like,
try to really get under your skin, try to say something stupid, crack a joke, crack like racist jokes or something like that, to just try to egg you on. People like, are even, messed up like that, man. Yeah, I hear. I know your thought process. I understand.
Yeah, like even though you never said a word to them, you never disrespected them. I was always quiet and things, stuff like that. And I think, I think that guy, he felt like an asshole and he knew it. He's just like, yeah, maybe that was in bad taste. I shouldn't have did that. He never said it after that, but it was still like, come on, man. Like, and I told him, I was like, look, and this thing, when you pull him aside, I'm like, come on, man. Like, don't matter. You know what's going to happen like when you say that word.
Right.
So I was like, if I wasn't there and you said it's whatever. But like, I'm there. You already know that it's going to get the rise out of the wrong people. And then they're going to try to throw stuff in there, whatever it is. But yeah, but that's one example. I've got a few other, but go ahead.
No, man. Yeah, that's a very introspective example that you gave. And I just want to say, I feel you, man. Being put in that position right there is like, just like
being put in a position, always have to be the bigger man.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, I understand. Like, to everyone listening to this, we've had similar paths. So I am completely empathetic to where you are coming from with this, because I've had similar experiences too. And it's just like, you have two paths. Do you want to be, you know, it's kind of like you're stuck in between a rock and a hard place in that particular instance. Cause you know, if you do one thing, you're the angry black guy. You know, there's all the stereotypes, all the whatever. Yep. Oh, got to make it about race, even though all the double standards come in. Or, you know, be the bigger man, and, you know, you have to shut down or temporarily just let it pass and just move on for the bigger picture. And kudos to you to being able to do that. That is not easy. I have a question. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, I had to learn that from my mom and my dad. Like, my mom went to Catholic school in the 60s and early 70s, and she was she was one of two only black kids in St. Philomena. And she would tell me stories. She was like, yeah, I remember I'd be walking by, and like, there was a family of three boys that lived at this house. She pointed at the house right here, and they always called me nigger and stuff as I was walking out and this and that. And you always have to carry yourself a different kind of way, because it's like, you know, I remember my dad, you can't let these white boys see you cracking. You can't see them let you get all emotional because they call you something or whatever it is, because they're going to keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But when they see that they can't break you, they stop. Because right. It's not, it doesn't bother you, but like, you can't let that break you down. Is it because they know that it probably will? And when it doesn't, they have to come up with another alternative.
Right.
Well, go ahead.
So with what you mentioned about that guy from the South, when that happened, did you ever talk with him much again? And to that, in your opinion, like, if not, do you think that person has grown from that moment?
Well, he's tried to talk to me after that. I mean, I spoke to him and stuff like that, because I'm just like, it's the white guilt. Like, oh, fuck, I said something. He really didn't deserve that. She is a really nice guy. And they look around, like, especially like after you have a conversation with them about the optics of the situation. Like, bro, I don't care what you do in your private time. That's none of my business. But when we're here on this bus and we're here all together, like, I don't bother nobody. I'm just riding the bus. We're in the
same. You're just minding your damn business.
I'm minding my business, man. Like, I'm not here for all that. I don't have no problems with you. Oh yeah, you know, I really appreciate, you know, then they try to be nice to you and they try to talk to you and stuff like that. And you just, you know, do I think he grew? Maybe a little bit, but I think it was the first time in his life that he really had to deal with a black person in that kind of way. And the response that he got was more humbling than anything. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. What? I'm a fucking asshole. Like, what am I doing? This dude don't bother nobody. He's not doing anything. He's in my class.
Right.
Very nice guy. Very respectable.
Mm-hmm. Well, with what you just said, I feel like two things can be true. you showed strength, poise, wisdom. Like, I think you just completely just shat on them with how you responded to that. And I hope that that individual, since he was young as hell, grew from that. However, if he did not, you keep acting like that, you're going to fuck around and find out.
Right. Fuck him. And the thing is, like, I'm in the 10th grade. He was a senior at that time. Was he a senior? Yeah, he was. You know what I mean? And it's like, but every year after that, like, you know, you become the seniors and you become, but there's like, you know, there's other stuff that happened. Like,
of course.
I'm not sure if you have other questions that will revolve around, but like I can give like I can give some examples now, or I can wait until
you can give a couple more examples, man. Go for it. This is for. This is your experience.
back on the bus again. Back on the Votech. Back on the Votech bus. So you're on there, and they're in the back, and they're talking their shit about black people in the back of the bus, and you just have to just take it. Sit on the bus.
Pause. What were they, in terms of talking ish, like what particularly were they saying, knowing that you were on the bus, if I may ask?
Trying to remember what it was. I mean, it was just on the
paraphrase
line.
Paraphrase it.
Black people are criminals, and they're gonna steal your shit. Whatever it is.
Okay, got it. Typical.
And I remember one time, like they were fucking with the bus driver, and his name was Ed. Ed was real cool. Ed was a white guy. He was like, Ed, that's why your mom likes black guys. They're all laughing in the back, and he goes, who cares? It's all. He was like, that's why your mom likes black guys. He's like, who cares? And he's like, what's wrong with black people? He's like, it's all pink in the middle. I remember that. And that's what he said. Everyone started laughing. It's all pink. It don't matter to me. And like, that was his response. But it was kind of like, why did that have to be a thing? Like, why did you need to say that? Knowing that I'm on the bus, you know what I mean?
Right. Right.
One guy, like, you gonna let them get away with that? I'm like, get away with what? I don't care. As a, you know, guy named
Joe. Like, what are you gonna do? Just fight people all the time and interrupt your schooling, interrupt your, you know, what you're trying to do, and what? Just, I understand. That's the interesting dichotomy of being black in the burbs and just being black in America, and from being black in diverse settings, because you have the foundation and background of being around different types of people. So you know how to, because of that, you kind of have no choice but to move in certain ways. You have no choice.
Yeah. You know what I want to do about certain people as well, especially in Votech, even with that one guy in the class, I was good friends with another guy in the class who he was friends with. So, you know, they get information from other people about you. It's like, oh, what did they call me? You know, oh, what about this guy? Like, oh man, Not cool, man. That guy's cool. You probably should, you know, tone that down or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because you can tell, because it's like all of a sudden, like they're talking to them, and the next thing you know, things are different. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember this other time, like we're on the bus, right? And it was like, we had to go, Votech was over, and we had to go pick up, like there was this alternative school, you know, the bad kid school, whatever. And we had to actually go and pick this kid up because he was, I guess he was just from Upper Darby or something like that. So I guess like, hey, go and pick this kid up and drop him off. We never seen this dude before, but he was a black dude. Or he got on the bus because all the kids used to sit in the back of the bus. He got on the bus and sat in the back of the bus with the white dudes. They were quiet, didn't say nothing. And I was like, huh, funny. You know what I mean? Okay. And then that's,
interesting.
Funny day. I remember that. I was like, okay.
So when that happened, what were your thoughts? Was it just, okay? Or like,
Because now it's like my thought was, are they doing it because they know I'm not going to say nothing? And now they just picked this black dude up from an alternative school. So now, like, yeah, I need to shut my mouth. You know what I mean? But also the ringleader, like the one ringleader wasn't on the bus that day. So, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So let me ask the question here. Being around other non-black people, being from the burbs and whatnot, and going to you said Votech school or just going through high school, did you ever feel like you were like the safe, like black guy, if that makes any sense? Yeah. Like, yeah, where people just felt they could just say things to you. And did that get to you? Did that get under your skin, despite the fact you were talking about, you know, having to be the bigger man and everything like that? Did you just notice that? Was it like on a normal occasion? Was it occasional? Was it like, was it very sporadic? Was it, did you notice that it was almost like consistent, constant?
It's constant in a way. It's consistent on the way of when it's appropriate for them to say something, they'll use you as a test subject. You know what I mean? Oh yeah, I'm gonna say something about rap, or I'll say something about, you know, something about black culture, something about black people, and I'll say it to you because you might agree with me.
Right.
And or if you don't agree with me, who cares? Because it's you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I think a lot of times, like, they just want you to agree. They just want to see if what they're seeing is real and or not.
And that's interesting, man. That's a very unfortunate, and for the other side, convenient place to be at. And you know, that's just interesting to carry when that happens to you. You know, like, at your core, like, how does that make you feel? Do you still like think about that today in your older age, or do you think like, oh, like when I was that age, I could have handled that differently, but I was a teenager. It is what it is. Or, you know, what are some of your like, how do you carry that with you? Like, do you shut that down more? Or not now, like in your life, but like, I guess as you grew older, getting more experience with that, would you like shut that down more? Would you, you know, call it out more? Or would you just kind of be like, whatever, I don't have time for this shit?
A little bit of everything, but like mainly like as a teenager, like I handled the right way because you gotta let shit go, because it's like, they're not gonna learn nothing. It's just cut it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you for showing me who you are, so now I can go this way.
Right.
I can mind my business. I can go over this way. I know who these people are. Like as an adult, once people start that shit, sometimes I'll walk away from it, but other times, like, it's like, oh yeah, no, I'm shutting this shit down immediately. Oh yeah, no, we're not doing this. Nah.
Right. Right.
Like, I'm not that guy. We're not doing this. No, you're wrong. You sound like a fool. Shut up. Don't know what you're talking about. Calm down.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, man. That's crazy, man. Yeah. It's like, as we're talking about this, I'm just thinking about things are just like pouring back, man. I'll be honest. There was, you know, I had friends in school and everything like that. And I would always like hear like black jokes and stuff like that. And I got annoyed by it and let people know about it. But like, they kept like doing it. And some other friends were like, nah, like, stop. It's like ridiculous. And I was told that apparently that I like said it was okay to do it. But I'm thinking, I'm like, you know, being older, I'm like, why did I do that? Like, what? If I did, like, why did I do that? Like, why did I, you know, it's just interesting. You think differently when you're younger. Like, was I just like, oh, I can take it, like in my head, right?
Yeah.
Was I like, I can take it, it's not going to bother me, but it did bother me.
You know, I think it was
interesting. You know,
I think it was for you personally. I think it's because you knew what you were dealing with. You know that they were idiots, and it just wasn't really worth the time. You're like, it's okay, because it's not okay, but like, I don't know. Like, it's like you're an idiot. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
And I'll let it go for now, up until the point where it gets disrespectful, because maybe it's like you knew those people and you're like, I know they don't have bad intentions and they're just trying to be funny, so I'm not going to make it a big deal and look like the angry black man.
Right.
Maybe that's what it was. You know, like, no, for me, that's what it was, you know, at times. like, just trying to always be calm and cool with it and be like, yeah, it's okay for you to say this and that. Not like, no, because at times, you know what it is? You get tired of defending blackness all the time. You're like, all right, and I'm not defending. So let them be idiots. Let them do whatever it is.
Right.
To
a certain point. Exactly. I think you broke that down perfectly, man. You almost like went into my head there. All right, Andrew. No, but like, yeah,
I've been there. I've got some other weird ass experiences too that I can tell you about. And it's just like, I've had times where I've had to really humble somebody. I remember, I'm trying to save some stories, but
you can save them if you want, because I have a couple, you know, there's some more material that I wanted to get at. And believe me, everybody, to everyone listening to this, like, Andrew and I could talk about this for like hours, believe me here. So that's what Andrew's referring to in terms of other subjects and experiences. The type of subject matter in this podcast, as y'all can hear, it's very complex and nuanced. So, you know, just trying to like articulate the amount of complexity, weirdness, awkwardness, emotional strife, the carrying, defending, shutting everything down, being the bigger person, like a lot's going on with these different types of experience. That's why this podcast is called The Other Experience. And that's why in this setting, I want to give other people the platform to discuss what they've experienced. Because as I said in the introductory episode, I've talked about this multiple times. I want to hear other people talk about it and raise awareness about these types of experiences, you know, with black and brown people, specifically black people. So speaking, you know, Andrew, I know that's a lot. I know it's not easy to go back and go through the memoirs of your life, you know, talking about this, because it's a lot, you know.
I did want to say something too, but I know that right now that like we're just speaking on the white side, and we even get to the black side of it, and it's just these are my black experiences with dealing with white people. So no.
Yeah, there's a to whole everybody
black and dealing with other black people in the suburbs or dealing with new people to the suburbs or people from the city dealing with it's not just this one thing. It's not just, you know, my white experiences. Like no, this whole thing is tied into a bunch of different stuff. And I think I want to let people know that it's not just going to be like, oh, I'm black, I live in the suburbs, and these are the racist things I dealt with. Oh
no.
You're gonna get it from all sides.
Yes.
So, and you know, yes, they ain't just like black people. You ain't safe either. We ain't safe, because I got some black ass stories too. So like I got some stories with that. So
yeah. So as Andrew just articulated, and what I was gonna get to is, you know, yeah, this isn't these are gonna be nuanced conversations, and all sides will be covered. And yeah, as Andrew just said, it's not just gonna be like a bitch fest about like one particular side. These are experiences from, you know, all angles here. And right now, this is what we're talking about, is what we were just been talking about, is the experience of being black in the burbs and having those experiences with non-black people and everything like that. And so with that said, Andrew, what experiences have you had with our own people in regards to being black on the burbs and, you know, going throughout school with that? What perspectives have you come across? Have you been judged for certain things? And I know you in particularly wanted to talk about some stuff, so feel free to provide some insight in regards to that. And you don't have to spill the beans on everything, but if you want to share a couple of experiences, feel free.
You hear it all. Like you're just one day you're a kid and you're just doing whatever. Then the next thing you know is, oh, why do you hang out with so many white people? Oh, you talk white. Oh, you want to be white. What? Wait, huh? because I went to school. You went to school too. We're in the same class. You know, it's just dealing with the ignorance of, you know what it is too? It's like dealing with those things, but also trying to be delicate with your own people and right. trying to explain stuff. Because you know how we are. We get really aggressive with each other. And it's like, yeah, you know what? I'm not I have to worry about I sound like the uppity black dude talking down to another black dude because I'm telling you some shit that you're doing wrong, or mm-hmm. or you try to clown me and then I respond. But my response is going to be me beating you in some type of way, not like hitting me, but like, you know what I mean? Whether right. it be like the mental gymnastics. And I was like, you're not going to keep up because you don't have the same experience as me. So you're not going to understand. But it's like things of that nature. And it's like, you know, oh, what do you say? Oh, when you think you white, or you think you like, it's like, why? Because I like anime, or I like, and I like Dragon Ball Z. I have different kinds of friends. I have a different experience. Like I can talk about all these different things. Like, and like, you don't fit in with the other, you know, basically like you don't fit in with the other black kids. It's like, well, it's not like I can't, it's just that certain things that we don't have in common. Cause to me, this is just how I feel at the end. In those moments, I'm going back and I'm just going back to an old feeling. It feels like you're trying to be black instead of just being yourself.
Go further into that, Andrew. Yeah, go further into that. I like what you unraveled right there. Can you go a little deeper into what you just said?
You try to be more so be a walking stereotype to connect with people instead of just being yourselves and just realizing that you would connect with the people who you're supposed to connect with. Like, oh well, I gotta like, you know, I gotta wear we're going back now, damn. You know, oh, I gotta wear. I gotta wear
the white tee era.
No, we're gonna go back even further than that. And we're gonna I gotta have my shiny Guess jeans and my Air Forces, or I gotta have, you know, like you have to walk and talk and be a certain way in order to fit in with people. And it's like, no, not really. And like I'd be wearing whatever, and it's just like, oh, you talk this way. But it's like, so, and I remember this, like, and I'm not going to go into a bunch of stories. I remember like this one girl's like, yeah, you talk real proper. I'm like, but you're supposed to. I said, wouldn't that be, I was like, so I'm supposed to be improper? And I remember she said, she was like, what? I'm like, so do you walk improper? She's like, what does that mean? I'm like, so you're saying I'm talking proper, but I'm supposed to talk proper, just like you're supposed to. Other than that, I'd be talking improper, right?
Right.
That's the.
It's like you break it down. It's like, what you just said, does it make? Basically, you just said in a really like high level way, like what you just said makes no sense. Think about it. Does it make any sense at all? That's why she's like, what? Because
right,
it
made no sense. And she and like you can see like the smoke coming out of her ears, like because she wasn't expecting, or like I don't think that she was really trying to be like malicious,
right?
But it was like, you really need to be conscious. And I told her, you really need to be conscious about what you're saying to people. I'm like, because you don't want to come off the wrong way. But now it looks like I'm being uppity and snooty. Like, yeah, like you look stupid when you're saying to someone, you're talking to intelligent people, or you're talking to other people outside of your race. And if you said that, you would look really stupid. And I know you're not stupid, but you're trying to be, quote, improper. You're trying to be improper to fit in with people. Like, you'll say the wrong word on purpose so that you could fit in and people can so-called relate to you. And I'm like, yeah, but why are you talking like that, knowing that, well, I know how to talk the right way. I'm like, well, then why would you talk the wrong way? So you're purposely trying to talk and do, so you're more so going out of your way to do it. So like, it's stuff like that, how I would get people. Then like, I would kind of see that. I'm not out of my element. It was just more like, because I think a lot of times like people expect you to be weak, but like when you act with a really, you can call, you know, we'll use right. a white word here, a snarky comment.
Right. You know? Right. Right.
Like they don't expect it. It's just like, it's like an intelligent, like, but you, so you want me to do that? I mean, I can, but that's doing you a disservice. I'm like, so we're supposed to be improper to each other, but why?
Right. I think that's a great question, man. And, you know, when you bring that up, it's like, as we get further in and talk about these experiences, and it's just like, there's so many intelligent, brilliant, proper speaking, however you want to say it, Black people all throughout history. So why? It's just, it makes my head like crunch. I was like, what?
Being improper, or so-called, you know, talking proper and then having dialect, having slang, having shit like that, that's different. People say Philly, you know, people say John. Yes. Blah, 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 blah. I'm not gonna be like, oh gee willikers, why you're saying John? It's not the, no, exactly. It's the, you know, it's yeah. it's from where you're from. I get why you're saying that. I understand that. I'm not gonna correct you, but like, if you're saying, like, I'm not going to correct you, but if, like, you keep saying something and it makes you sound kind of, like, buffoonish, like, the word liked with an ED, I liked it. And it's like, you probably switch that up a little bit, because you're smarter than that, and you don't want to come off looking a certain way to, right. Oh, well, you're just saying that for, well, I'm not trying to impress white people. It's not, no. It's not a white thing.
Nope.
It's a world thing.
Right.
And when you have other people, when you're friends with other people from other places, and they see that, it you're limiting yourself when you don't need to. I get if it slips out or whatever it is, but like it no one's expecting you to be like, we're gonna talk, you know, everyone's gonna talk like, you know, perfect English all the time, because you know, even white people got bad English.
Yeah, of course.
A lot of white dudes with real bad English, white women with bad English, whether you're from California dude or Boston or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they all have their own whatever it is, saying wrong words or whatever it is. But like, I think at times when like they look at you and then they want to call you names, and like, it's, you know what it is? It's when they try to insult you and then you completely flip it on them, like, No, we're not going to do that, because you're trying to insult me based off of, you think that I'm corny or something, but none of that matters, and you stupid, and that, and we're going to stay right there.
Yeah.
You know, anyway.
No, man, that was brilliant, man. That's definitely the essence of what a lot of these episodes and descriptions of these experiences that are going to be told are, you know, are. So, and bridging off what you said, you know, it just always makes me laugh, man, because either way, it doesn't matter, man. You're still Black either way. It's just interesting to me, which is why I'm starting this podcast, because I want to get to the crux of, through various perspectives, as to why this happens. With that experience you just said, well, why would I talk improper? I like to talk proper. Why would I talk improper? And with you saying that, you're also like subliminally saying, yeah, I'm proud Black and speak damn proper. Nothing wrong with that. And like, why did that person, and that person you describe, you know, that person, that individual, she could have been like a very smart, I don't know this person, but I'm just, you know, just ride with me here. She could have been like, why is she even limiting herself? That's what, whenever I got into similar things, I'd be like, why are you even limiting yourself? Like, you're at the same space I'm at. Maybe it's what you said, just trying to fit in, you know, maybe that's a part of the, part of the thing here, you know,
go ahead. I'm like, so why do you think being Black is being sloppy and improper? Black people are supposed to be improper. I'm like, that's not us. And they look at you because they don't think that you're really gonna give like a real
a pro
Black response. It's like, nah,
all the inventors, you think all the, you know, all the pioneers were, you know what?
Right. Nah, stop it. Like, it's, you know, it doesn't mean that like, if you talk a certain way, I'm gonna look down on you, I'm not gonna speak to you, and that we'll have nothing in common. But it's when you try to come at me, you really try to insult me,
right?
Which,
Now we're getting to disrespect.
Intelligence with stupidity to make me feel uncomfortable about something I shouldn't feel uncomfortable about because I'm doing it the right way. So it doesn't make any sense. So it's like, and so I think that those are the two cultural, like the really two cultural differences. It's kind of like you're on the outside looking in and they're looking at you like, you know, yo, you're just some black guy trying to be white. And I'm like, no, I'm a black dude that lives in the world.
Right.
I don't live in the bubble. I live in the world, but the thing is that I can go in and out of the bubble. I know what's in here and I know what's outside.
Right. Right.
You don't know what's out there because you choose not to know. And it doesn't mean that you're, quote, being white. Which is stupid within itself. It's like, so you're basically saying that white people are intelligent people that talk proper and black people are what? You know, whatever it is, like unintelligent, right. Whatever it is. And it's like, nah, like why? Because now I'm offended by that. Like, this is what you think black people are?
And yeah, especially it's offensive. On. It's offensive. Yeah, I right. like that you said that. Hold on, but I like you said that. It's insulting. You know,
right, like I'm like, why are you assaulting black blue? And especially when you flip it on them, it fucks up every time. It never fails, never fails.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because like, yeah, it's when you really break it down, I feel like I felt in those moments when I had similar occasions experiences that, yeah, I felt like this pit in my stomach. I'm like, that's how you feel about your own people,
right? Like, right.
Like, that's how you feel like, about right. like you feel like you shouldn't be able to be educated or reading a book. I read an old Will Smith biography that I read when I was like in seventh grade or like eighth grade or something like that. And I read that Will Smith, he hid his books or his studies from other students when he was walking back from school.
He would put
to hide the fact that he was like studying and being intelligent. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, that is so messed up. Like what? You know,
I would like to think that doesn't really go on nowadays, but I think
I hope not
because like I said, like we're also like I also want to say we're also coming from like at this point we're coming from an older perspective.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Things are, you know, 20 maybe 30
2000s. This is the 90s and 2000s. Yeah,
like it might you know it's an older thing, but
primarily
we have more access to each other as far as like different races of people and stuff like that, like you see more or whatever it is, versus, you know, when we were kids, you know, if you ain't see it, it ain't gonna happen, like unless it was on TV. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're not used to seeing black kids and white kids hanging out, you don't think it's a real thing, you know. Right. Back then I always felt like when we're dealing with our own people, that it's not just like it was always kind of sad to me. Like it was always like I have to handle it with kid gloves, but I also will become a little bit more aggressive because now it's like, nah, I see, like now it's like now you're coming at my blackness and you don't understand anything. It's like as I said before,
they don't even know who you are, those people. Right. And those, yeah, you don't even know who I am. Oh, yeah,
just, if you even had to experience even one thing I went through, like especially like, and I'm going to go off on this, I'm not going to go off on this topic and just give an example. Like if you go off and you tell them one experience that you have, they are blown away, they're pissed off, and they say shit like, I can never, that like that would never happen with me. I would never just let them do whatever. Oh yes, you would. Oh yes, you would. And if you didn't, and if you didn't, you would learn. Your life would be destroyed. Your image, your life, because it's not worth it. You can't come out here and just. I mean, like unless it's like completely warranted. Like
of course.
Other than that, like it's like you gotta be tactical with it. Like, oh, you people just said that to me. Oh, I would have beat somebody up, or I would have did this, and I would have. We could have, but then what would that have solved?
Yeah,
you know, maybe. So
yeah, man.
That's all I'd say about that.
So we just talked about experiences being, you know, black. And how white people react. We just talked about experiences being black, about how our own people react. So with that said, how can you describe that rock in a hard place feeling? That, like, is your guard constantly up in the back of your mind? But at the same time, do you also have time to just, you know, when that was happening on a consistent basis or whatnot, like, were those times where you just wanted to just relax and just be you and just exist as a human being, as a Black human being? So can you go a little more into what it was like to kind of just carry that and navigate that?
Well, you're always being a rock in a hard place because you're not Black enough for the Black kids and you're too Black for the white kids or whatever it is.
Right.
And,
right.
Mm-hmm. And they're constantly trying to test you to see if you're going from the white side, if you're going to react in certain ways. They automatically think certain things of you. I mean, unless they become your friends. But but then you also have to remember that, like, when you're Black living in the suburbs and you have a majority of white friends, your white friends have friends.
Mm-hmm.
Their friends don't always exactly think how they think. And you'll be put in situations where you're going to hear shit. They're going to say something. The N-word is going to slip out somewhere. And you have to... And then you're in a rock between a hard place. Like, well, I can react and go off and do all this other stuff, but then now I could lose my friendship and us this and that. And some people are like, well, screw that, lose the friendship. It's like, yeah, but back then, as a child or as a, you know, whatever it is, you don't want to lose your friendships over things that you know that can really be fixed, because you know that certain things, like, well, that happened in this moment, I can let it slide, whatever it is. And but with the Black people on the Black side, you're between a rock and a hard place because you're constantly like they already think that you're some type of sellout, even though you never had a conversation with them, even though you don't think nothing bad about them or anything, but it's all about how they feel about you. And the second you really try to defend yourself, or the second you really try to do whatever it is, like, you're always in a constant battle to not please them, but you're always in a constant battle to prove your Blackness. So that's what I mean by like you're between a rock and a hard place. Like, it's like you're constantly battling two types of, call it racism or whatever it is, prejudice. You're like, you're fighting two types of prejudice from two different people, like your own and them. So you're always being a rock and a hard place. You don't know where to start. You don't always know when to say what, but you know that you have to just be prepared in the moment.
Excellent answer, ma'am. Bridging off that, when you're doing that, you are human, Andrew. I am human. Other people on this podcast are human. We're all humans. And with that comes emotions, and with that comes good days and bad days. So when dealing with that, were there times where you got really down? And were there times where, you know, you were like, should I change myself? Were there times where it really messed with you, like with everything going on and kind of just living that, like having to navigate your youth that way, you know, because it's a lot to deal with.
Yeah, like sometimes it's like, should I just fight everybody? Should I just fight? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, with the Black group, should I just? Well, I don't know. Like, it's like I don't. I never knew what to do with the Black group. I just knew that I didn't really have to worry about them as much. I just knew that there would be some slick shit out of your mouth. But I was always prepared.
Right.
Respond with something intelligent. Well, I mean, same thing with the on the white side. But I was always prepared to respond with some type of, I call it like intelligent love. Like, it's I'm a respond with something, but it's gonna be from a place of love, and a place of something that they don't understand. And like you know, you kind of put them in their place, but you leave them like, like,
and rise above.
Who's this brother? Like, what the fuck? Like, you know. I like some Nation of Islam stuff, like, oh brother, you know, you need nothing, but like, really, like, it's like somebody will say something and you just let them know, like, yo, my eyes are wide open and I have experiences, but these are my friends and these are my people over here. It is what it is. It's not because I'm against anybody, it's just this is how it came out. So
earlier on I asked, you know, have you, were you asked like very inadvertently ignorant things? Were there any awkward or particular questions that your own people, that our own people would ask you being from the burbs? Like maybe you had a you know, a black confidant that was, you know, from the hood or something like that, or from another city or from whatever. Did you ever have a experience where, you know, you got asked a certain question, you're like, wow, or anything like that?
You know what it is? It's not like you get asked. I mean, you don't really get asked questions. Like they really just say shit.
Or sly comments. Sly comments.
Comment. Like, mm-hmm. One of the things I think is that they think that you're afraid of the hood. It's like, mm-hmm. Not really. I mean, why? Black people, like, you ever been in the wrong neighborhood where you're not, so, I'm not talking about amongst your own people where you blend in, and like, I mean, places where like you're really going to stand out.
Right. Right.
Like you ever been in a bar with a bunch of drunk whatever it is, you know what I mean?
Right.
A bunch
right.
of drunk patients saying stuff, waiting for you to say something. They're not saying it directly to you, but like, you know, things of that nature. But like,
right.
It's always like slick comments. Like I remember I had someone say something to me. Like I had like an import car. I had like this little, you know, I don't know if you remember. I had this little 95 Toyota Celica, and I, you know, mm-hmm. the Fast and Furious, they had the body kit, the wing, all that stuff. And there was a comment, girl was like, oh, you like Japanese cars, so you must be into Asian girls and not black girls. What? How does that make? Like, just weird comments like that
person,
you're not hurt by it, but you're just like taken back by it. Like, is this how I'm coming off to people?
Andrew, based on what you just said, I'm going to make the educated guess that that's not you. That is her. Something is off. Yeah, that person has to settle some issues within themselves. Because that makes no sense.
It's always them. It's rarely ever you, but you still have to go back and look at yourself and be like, like, I mean, she could be Japanese or Chinese, right. Whatever the hell. I mean, she could be Campbell, whatever it is. But right. Like, it's just right. That's not, I'm not, I don't like, I like all kinds of women. I mean, men, like, we're men, like we like all kinds of women. Don't really matter what she is, matter despite what any of them say, you know, we like the spectrum. It don't matter whatever it is. So, you know, but yeah, like that was one really weird comment.
Okay.
Another one.
That was great. I think that was, I think you definitely shared just how like some just awkward interactions can be.
Since I don't drive a stereotypical black car.
I'm sorry, say it again.
Since I didn't drive a stereotypical black person car, which around that time black people would always drive like the younger, like old Buicks and Oldsmobiles, Crown Vicks, you know, stuff like that. But if like you were into the import scene or whatever, it's, oh, you must like Asian girls because you're in these kind of, it's just the, like the association with me was weird, but right. It's like, okay.
Yeah. It's like you could have asked like how you are as a person, what got you into cars, what, you know, oh yeah, that's an interesting, cool Asian car. Like, that's really cool. Like, are you into Asian culture? Not just like, why do you have to go that right, route? Like, I know what you mean. Like, right. there's so many different ways to, you know, be interested into something or something involved with somebody. Why does it, you know, but you decide to go that route. All right. Okay.
Right.
You know,
it's really awkward. It's just, yeah. It's unnecessary. Like,
yeah.
Why that? Why, right. why do I have to specifically like something just because, like saying, oh man, you know, you're really into Naruto, so you must love, you just only must like Japanese girls.
Mm-hmm.
Because anime, yeah.
Right, man.
I was like, but it's like, you think about it and you laugh, but then you really think like, is this how I'm coming off? Like, you have to, you know, be observant, like, is this how I'm coming off to people? Like, is this what I'm actually doing? You're like, nah.
That's what I mean, man. It's an interesting way to navigate. Now it's like, brother, you're fine. You're fine. You're always been, you've always been fine in terms of just like how you carry yourself. And, you know, that's why I'm so honored and excited to have you on as my first guest for this podcast. Cause you know, I understand exactly where you're coming from, and it's a difficult kind of topic to, it's a complex topic. Even one of the other people that I'll be speaking with expressed excitement because of how complex of a topic this is and everything. And to those listening, it's not, it's just not easy to kind of talk about. So when we describe things, you have to just really listen and get into the, we really kind of get into the grinds and gears of what this is and everything. So with that said, Andrew will be a guest again in later episodes. And we have a whole lot of things to talk about, different layers of all this. Andrew, I wanted to say thanks for coming on. And do you have anything else to add in regards to what we talked about today?
I just wanted to say, like, based on like what you just said, that yeah, like the guys, there's layers to this. Like certain things seem really innocent, and it's like, well, all they did was ask this question. It's like, yeah, but there's so much more to it, and it doesn't seem like it, but there is. Like even with the car thing, it's the association that I must like this, or someone, it's because they're into this, or because they speak proper, that they love white people or something. Like it's just the associations, and more so it's just about talking about what are these associations, and like how are people thinking, and we're trying to break that down. Then like exactly. That's what we're really trying to do, and like let you understand that, like, you call it a microaggression, like whatever it is, like it's a very awkward existence. It's a very awkward existence, and I think that it's just to get us to understand each other as Black people more, because we come from different sides of the fence, but we generally have a similar experience, but some of us have a vastly different experience. But like we have what am I trying to say? We all have a similar experience, but it varies depending on where you live. I think that's what I'm trying to say.
And with that said, what I like to say is there's not just one Black experience. It's as simple as that. However, there is the other experience. See what I did there? So thanks everyone for listening to this inaugural episode. And there's going to be way more than that came from. And once again, thank you for listening to the other experience. Andrew, thank you so much. And
thank you.
Folks, there's going to be more than that, more where that came from. So thanks everybody.